James Zuckog.
These are the people on Zoom as well. Hey, if you're on Zoom, welcome also.
Apologies, I'm not dressing up. I mixed up a bag, and this is what you got for tonight. So my sobriety date is June 18th, 2008, and I see a lot of people that mean a lot to me. So really don't have anything planned for tonight, so this is all just going to come out as it's meant, I guess. Last week, I was just with someone that actually helped start this group out in Las Vegas, and that was really cool. And then, you know, here I am speaking this week, which, man, if that's not a sign of God always being on time, I don't know what is. And, you know, I got to thank that person. That person sponsored me for many years of my sobriety. And, you know, I want to thank this group as well. This was my home group for many years. And, you know, Tampa YPG has a special place in my heart. I'm going to put this down, I guess.
So,
you know, qualify myself. I had a great childhood. And when I discovered alcohol at the, I would say, the ripe age of when I had my first, you know, real true experience. You know, I don't consider like a glass of champagne on the holidays a true experience, but like true experience being when I, you know, we raided our parents' liquor cabinet. I was 15 years old. I didn't know what to mix with this or that. And it was bad. It was a whole bunch of concoctions that probably didn't make sense. But to a 15-year-old, it sounded like, oh, vodka and milk. Oh, just orange juice, soda, just dumb, stupid stuff. And I remember blacking out. And I remember throwing up in my bed in my sleep. And I recall, I used to be like super heavy into like rock music back then, and I recall that's how Randy Rhoads died in his car, and I was like, holy crap, I could have died. But I couldn't wait till the next week to do it again. And this is so freaking wild. I mean, anyone that's like over 30, we're old now, even though we grew up on like AOL and shit. And so I was like, I had a blackout over AOL, which is irrelevant now. I guess it'd be like equivalent to like posting on TikTok and you're like, oh, I drunk TikToked. You know what I mean? I don't even know. So it's wild, you know what I mean? And just like started talking to these girls. I got the online confidence going, you know, which weird, wild world. And couldn't wait to do it again. I've had some just crazy experiences related to alcohol, and I really don't want to talk too much about them, but I do want to qualify myself as an alcoholic. And, you know, our literature is very clear, you know, controlling the amount we drink and stopping when we want to, and I couldn't do neither of those. When I started drinking, I could not stop. I remember, I still think this is a record for some people. I got fired first day, first hour on a job site that let me declare how much money I wanted to make. I was 18 years old. These landscapers that were like doing my parents' like retainer wall, they're like, yo, we need an extra hand. You looking for work? I'm like, yeah. They're like, what do you want to make? And I was like, 15. And they're like, you got it. And I was like, oh, I should have said higher. And I'm like, all right. And so they're like, all right, show up to Doylestown Courthouse. I'm from Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So I go to Doylestown Courthouse. I packed a bag of essentials. You know, I packed some, you know, herbal substances and some 40s, you know, which is what, I'm a landscaper now. You know, I got to act like one. And, you know, I crack one open, start chugging. This is in the first hour. I think I've barely dug like two holes, and I'm like, all right, this calls for a light up. I'm gonna spark one up. And then this is right on the courthouse. I'm just so stupid. Like, really, just like so out of touch from reality. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm taking a break. And they're like, and then I'm, you know, I'm not gonna try to curse too much. They're like, you're fired, go home. And I just remember like, this feeling that the book talks about, incomprehensible demoralization. I'm like, dude, you are such a loser. Just drive your car off the ditch and kill yourself. Then I'm like, that probably won't kill me. It would just like mess up my car. And so I'm like, and I just felt so low. And there was a bunch of just jobs that existed like that. I've had so many jobs that were a direct relation to my alcohol consumption. I had a job, another job, where we were allowed to smoke on the job. And I got fired for showing up in a blackout 2 hours late. They're like, dude, what are you doing? No. And they actually fired me. And then they said, we'll send you the check. That's when you know you screw up. And they're like, we'll mail you your check. And I was like, damn, man, we could smoke in that job. And I screwed up a lot of jobs, too. I was like, oh, my gosh. And I grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got sober June 18th, 2008. I think Chris woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning. I think I got up at 6. And I was joking with Chris over there. Me and Chris got the same sobriety days, so we always joke about who woke up earlier. Chris definitely woke up earlier. I was definitely sleeping in. It's awesome life. That's funny story with Chris. Chris, I texted Chris my address to pick me up, and he had the same address. And he was like, dude, we got the same address. And then we lived in the same exact location. And, you know, Chris was an awesome, sober buddy of mine. And we went to a lot of meetings together. And there's a lot of people, I'm probably going to drop some names here, that have really meant a lot to my sobriety. And, you know, just, man, it's hard to put in words. You know, I got sober in 2008 in Pennsylvania, and I really wanted to speed things up until my time here in Tampa. And, you know, it's cool that I'm speaking. I wasn't ready for, you know, I was hoping to hear someone else other than myself. When I got sober, I was typical alcoholic. I was, what do you want to call it, a knucklehead, didn't know any better. You know, so I'll say to the new person, whatever keeps you coming here, that's what's important. If it's the coffee, great. You know, hopefully, you know, you hear something. If it's, you know, the social events, great. Hopefully you hear something. If it's the men or women, great. I hope you hear something that really sticks. And I was the guy that would just share at every single meeting. I'd be like, I'm currently not working step 7, but let me tell you what's going on right now. And I can't imagine, geez, you know, our book talks about love and tolerance. And, like, I'm just thinking these old-timers must have been like, oh, shit, he's here again. And I know they were, too. That's the funny part, too, because I remember I was in a meeting one time, and my sponsor was like, yeah, I got some sponsees that, yeah, I ignore their calls, and I'll pick them up really late for the meeting. And I was like, shit, he ignores my calls, and he picks me up late for the meeting. And I was like, oh, damn, he's talking about me. I used to call myself a young old-timer, which is kind of funny to say. And the reason why I say that is because how I got sober isn't how a lot of other people get sober. I got sober in smoking clubhouses. You would have thought I'm getting sober in like the 70s. And we're like, you know, just like a bunch. It literally was like a movie. It was all guys from Ireland, or they were first-generation guys from Ireland, or guys from Italy, or first-generation guys from Italy. And it was just like off-color jokes, all kinds of stuff that probably, I guess, nowadays we're like super like PC or whatever. And you know, these guys would tell all kinds of just analogies. And this one guy, I can't do an Irish accent, he'd be like, you know, getting in a relationship earlier in recovery is like two trash trucks colliding. Shit goes everywhere. And these are the kind of things we'd hear in meetings. And I'd be like, oh my God, he's like, so right, mind blown. And this is the stuff I would hear from the old timers. And for a while, that was my sobriety, and I really just got involved with the fellowship, and I never really got involved with actual recovery. And actual recovery is really important. I've been able to rewrite my past. I think that's something that I really don't hear too many people talk about, but sometimes we have what are called rose-colored lenses of how we view things in life, and I've been able to rewrite my past, my childhood, my early sobriety. Like, once I discovered the steps, I got really upset with these guys that provided me fellowship and love, and they welcomed me. And I used to be like, why aren't they talking about the big book? They're doing AA wrong. And I'm like, dude, these guys were like feeding me and picking me up, and they were doing the best that they knew. And I've been able to rewrite that. And, you know, I was able to talk to that former sponsor, and I had a lot of resentment at that man. And I was able to see him in World Conference when we were in Atlanta, shake his hand and thank him for, you know, doing the best he could. And you know, my sobriety has definitely been kind of interesting. And along the way, I made amends to my family down here in Florida. That's where I met guys like Terry. I met some other cool people as well. And, you know, just found what, I don't know if it's in the big book, but I like to call what movers and shakers. Movers and shakers, to me, are people that are doing the action. Their feet are moving. They're involved in the program. And chances are those people know other people. Then you get involved, and it just is like a whirlwind of, what do they call it, pocket of enthusiasm. And so I was like, man, I really want to get down here to Tampa. Like, Tampa was like a huge thing. I was like, I need to get to Tampa. It was always these things like I needed to change location, and somehow it was going to like improve my life. I was like, if I just live in Tampa, like my life is just going to be set. Like, meanwhile, I was like this career student flipping, changing degree thing. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I really wasn't, I'm probably going to be all over the place because there's a lot of stuff I want to hit on, but, you know, if you ever feel like you're not doing AA and you feel like you've done something wrong, I've done it as well, and there's probably other people also. You know, so I have to remind myself of that when I see a new guy or an old timer doing something that's messed up, you know, because I know what it's like to be that person. I know what it's like, you know, to live dirty and try to live clean, so to speak. And so I moved down to Tampa. Tampa was incredible. Tampa, it was, man, you know, sponsoring a bunch of people. Was doing all this stuff for AA, and I was doing nothing for myself, is the truth. And I was just, like, giving so much of myself at different periods. And it's weird. All I can really remember a lot is, you know, these past couple years. I don't have a great memory. I was just hanging out with Marlon beforehand, and Marlon was talking about some night that we hung out with some friends at the cigar lounge, and I was like, I remember only bits and pieces of that. And I don't know why I don't remember certain things and certain things I do remember, but I remember people. I at least remember the people that I spend time with that mean a lot to me. Shit, Jesse used to cut my hair for years. So good to see you. And yeah, I got involved in this group. You know, like I said, this group, I do believe, you know, kept me sober for many years, and it's what I needed at the time. And really, anyone here, you never know, you know, when you're going to need something, and you're going to need people as well. And so if you don't have a home group, I suggest getting involved. I'm staying right now in Fort Myers, and I got a home group, and I'm involved on Saturday night, Young at Heart. And I told them I really can't take a position because I also go back and forth to South America. But I told them, hey, I can commit to shaking hands. You know, I'm like one with the people kind of thing. And but, yeah, this group meant a lot to me. I don't know when I left this group. But I know that, man, like I said, I really didn't have too much planned, but I wanted to talk about kind of, I was thinking in my seat, I was like, I should kind of get caught up with some things that happened, and I have to, you know, watch some of the things. I don't know if this, do we still record these at all? Okay, cool, so I can only say certain stuff. Yeah, so I got involved in a relationship, and that relationship was extremely toxic. I got involved with someone that was involved with some really bad people that I found later out. We'll call them the cartel. And it sounds like I'm making this shit up, dude. I just started talking about it after 2 years. It was like, oh, I was holding this shit in. And, like, I got ran out of Tampa to Colombia. Like, I felt safer living in Colombia. If that doesn't sound ass backwards, I don't know what is. And, you know, I got involved in this relationship, and it took me away from AA. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because I remember one night I came to this group, and this person was just super, super controlling. And, you know, I play a part. You know, I don't want to blame anyone. And she was like, you know, where were you, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I was at my home group. And then she was like saying I couldn't go there anymore, and I just snapped out of it. And I was like, I got to get out of this. And because I was afraid I was going to drink. And I got out of that relationship, and then I got extremely harassed and stalked by members of said organization until I left. And that's the first time I've talked about that from a podium level. I didn't plan on talking about that at all. And it's shitty, you know what I mean? It really is shitty because, you know, I was, you know, growing my business. I loved this area. I really did. And I've done a lot of cool shit since then. But I do want to, you know, say from a group level that this group, I don't, you know, feel like the group owes me anything, but I definitely owe a lot of my life to this group. You know, there's a lot of men in this room that have went through bigger things than I have, and they stayed sober. And I think that's the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, people that, like, I'm talking about my issues, and I know there's people in this room that have went through huge events, and they didn't drink. And that's the kind of stuff that I think about for myself. And yeah, so I started going back to meetings and at nighttime at Red Door. And this is about 3 years ago. Everything's kind of blurry at this point because the past 2 years have just been a wild ride. And yeah, it's such a, it's like pre-pandemic talk kind of thing, which is so weird. It's so cool to see people without masks. I was going to meetings over the summer in Philadelphia and everyone had masks. And I just like seeing people's faces, to be honest with you. And I had hired this girl off of Craigslist, and she invited me to come stay with her and her family down in Columbia. She was married, and she said, hey, you should come check out Columbia. And she was working for me, and I already had other employees in other countries that work for me. And I remember hearing some, you know, speaker or some person online or whatever talk about regret. Actually, it was Gary Vee talk about regret. And I said, I've always wanted to live in Colombia. I want to learn Spanish. I do know Spanish now. And I've always wanted to go there. And I was like, I'm doing this. I'm single. I don't have any kids. I'm going there. And so I went and I visited for a weekend. I thought I was going to like get abducted or some shit if I walked outside or whatever. And I was just like so scared because, you know, we see listings on the media and we just listen to all these things. And I was like, I'm going to go back. And then I went back again like a week or two later for another week. And now I stay for periods of 3 to 4 months at a time. And then I come back. And AA started to look different. I was doing Zoom before Zoom was cool. You know what I mean? I was, you know, doing Zoom on the, I think it was the IKIPA Young People's Meeting on Wednesday night. And things just looked a lot different. And through that, I started going to these English-speaking meetings down there. And AA gave me a really cool life. I might jump around a little bit, but I kind of wanted to, you know, not forget of the special place that Tampa holds to me. You know, this is where I made amends to my family. It wasn't until I was 5 years sober, I think it was, yeah, 5 years sober, that my dad truly saw me live in AA and said that he truly forgave me. That came from showing up. It doesn't come from, you know, sweet talking people and saying, oh, I'm so, you know, sorry or whatever kind of thing, or hey, I was wrong. It comes from showing up and doing the work. It came from, you know, showing up every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, doing things that my sponsor taught me to do. Take out the trash, do the dishes without being asked, right? You know, not looking for thanks or whatever kind of thing. And just doing that year after year. And I remember one time like an air conditioner broke at their house. And I drove all the way down there to, you know, be there for the repair guy to get in. And my dad just, you know, was like, he knew that I was a different person. And that's the kind of stuff that happens, you know. We show up for Alcoholics Anonymous because Alcoholics Anonymous showed up for us. That's why I'm here tonight. Like I said, Marlon, thanks for asking me to speak. My friend Larry, thanks for driving me over here. And life's weird. Life is really, really weird today. I made some amazing friends with some people. And we grow in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, I don't have some pre-made speech or whatever. I haven't even spoken in a while. I spoke on Zoom for someone in St. Pete probably about 6 months ago. And we need to grow as people and human beings. And that's how we evolve, or else we stay stagnant. And I've had friendships I've had to cut off because they were toxic. Because my sobriety is number one. And I've had just people in my life that have really, really, really hurt me. And I've grown through that. There is, I'm going to butcher this, but something called resistance. And the things that we resist generally push us back and we go back down. But when we push through the resistance, That's how we grow. And there's been a lot of stuff that has just leveled me this past year. And that's how we grow. And I didn't drink through any of it. And I can get specific afterwards if you want. I can talk about some of it, but a lot of it's business related. And you know, people stealing tons of money from me. And we don't drink. Friends, you know, stabbing me in the back. We don't drink. And you know, I talked to about it with a sponsor. That's the big thing, is that we have someone in our life that we can trust with this stuff. I had someone of 3 years in my life that literally, you know, all kinds of stuff. I was a godfather of a kid, everything completely stabbed me in the back, and I was able to walk through that without talking badly about them. You know, gossiping or any of that kind of stuff. I share it here because, you know, I want to hold a message of actual depth and weight, actual stuff, real life shit. And I was an employee, you know, 3 years. Relationships that I've had to walk away with. I was so scared to break up with my ex that I had to share my location with my family. And I told them, if you see my location move on the iPhone, call the police. That's how my relationship ended. I walked through that. Without bad-mouthing that person on social media, all the stuff you see nowadays that's so easy to do, play the victim. It's like life happens to people far worse than me. And you know, I show up for Alcoholics Anonymous. I do want to talk about some awesome stuff. So, change the tone a little bit. And did some cool stuff. We have done amazing things, my company and myself, for a lot of people. And I think that's where Alcoholics Anonymous shows through. I've helped some amazing people. I've had amazing moments that where Alcoholics Anonymous showed up. I was down in Mexico one time, and this is really where it started in Latin America. And we couldn't make a meeting. The AA clubhouse was closed down in Playa del Carmen. And couldn't make a meeting, and we're walking the streets. And there's a block party. And we're like, all right, let's see what's going on here. It's an AA block party. Have you ever seen one of those before? Me, no, I have not. This is the first time I've seen an AA block party, but in Mexico, that's what they do. Maybe just that area. And, you know, they had the clubhouse people. They had the halfway house people. You could tell the halfway house people. You can always spot them. They're always vaping, even in Mexico. Just messing around. And so it was like, whoa, God is right on time. We needed a meeting. You know, I was able to talk Spanish with some of the people, and some of those people spoke English, and it was like, that's cool. And that's how I know God is always on time. You know, for a while, I was even afraid to talk about God, but God is always on time. I was just in this area last week because I came back from Las Vegas, and I landed here on a red eye or whatever, and I woke up in the morning, and I went to the DI coffee bar, and I walked my old neighborhood, and I was doing some of my work calls, and I was really busy, and these guys next to me started talking, and we started talking about faith. We started talking about our belief in God, and to be quite frank, I was really in my head. I had some, you know, just some past baggage and emotion from that area. I saw my old apartment where I lived for many years, and they asked to pray for me, and we prayed together for about 5 minutes, probably one of the longest prayers I ever did in my life, and that felt amazing. And it's like, God is always on time, you know? It was exactly when I needed him. You know, two people were sent, and they were like, hey, can we pray for you? And I was like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, that, you can't make this stuff up. I couldn't go looking for that kind of thing. And, you know, that was stuff that I would search for, that relief and alcohol and other things. And it always left me empty-handed. This pandemic has just taken a lot of my friends. You know, it sucks. And it's taken people that, quite frankly, I think were better members than me. I do think highly of myself, but there was people that, you know, that helped me do AA, that they made the ultimate sacrifice in this pandemic. And you know, it's life, it sucks, it's shitty. You know, it's guys that, you know, people that I'm talking like that live next to the meeting that would drive to go pick me up when I didn't have a car for the first 2 years of my sobriety. And that shit sucks. And through that, it's brought me back closer with people I got sober with, which is really cool. But it's unfortunate, like, that's how it goes down, I guess. I've had just really good friendships along the way, really good guidance along the way, and I haven't found the need to drink in over 13 years. I got sober when I was 20 years old. I never had a legal drink. I was raised in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't know how to do anything. I remember being in a halfway house when I was younger the first time I tried to get sober, and I didn't know how to do laundry because my mom always did my laundry. I thought I don't know why I'm telling this, but this is a funny story. I put away wet laundry and it got mold. Who does that? That's pretty bad. It's embarrassing. I did not know how to do anything in life, and sober members taught me everything. I didn't know how to make the coffee. I forgot to tell this story. This is a crazy, funny story. I didn't know how to make the coffee, and we had a big urn back in my home group, 7109 Westchester Pike in Upper Darby. It's now since burnt down, unfortunately. I'm not surprised that it burnt down. I thought it was going to burn down sooner. There's a smoking clubhouse, and they would like throw the cigarettes in the trash, and I'm like, I'm not a safety inspector, but like, this seems like, I'd be like making sure there's water. They'd be like, and I'm like, all right, whatever. And anyways, before it burnt down, they would have people make coffee, and so I was trusted with one of the highest positions in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is coffee maker. And because, you know, coffee maker, you got to get there early. If there's no coffee, I don't care who you are in this room, you've definitely been like, where the frick's the coffee at? And I don't care how sober you are, you're like, oh, where's this meeting? I don't have coffee. Well, you ain't catching my time here next week. And so anyways, it's going to sound contradictory right now, but it's kind of funny. I didn't know how to make coffee, and so I filled the urn all the way up to the top with coffee. It seemed fitting, right? You know, it fits all the way to the top. Let me fill it all the way up to the top with coffee. And a guy shared about the coffee. And I'm sitting there, and he's like, I don't know who the hell made the coffee, but this is terrible. And I was like, holy shit. And then another person piped up, and they interrupted, and they said, we didn't come here for the coffee. We came here for God and AA. And I was like, holy shit. And then my sponsor was like, yeah, we're not going to have you make coffee anymore. And then I got what I think is the second highest position of AA, cleaning ashtrays and packing up chairs, because someone's got to break the room down, right? Or else the church gets mad at you and you lose your place or whatever, or the pastor or whatever, you know, says you can't meet here. And that was my position for a while, cleaning ashtrays and stuff like that. The biggest thing I can say to anyone that's new or anyone that's feeling stuck in sobriety, keep moving your feet. Keep moving your feet. I used to say that about new people, but until I was someone that, I'm sober, but I'm coming back to AA after a little bit of a hiatus. You know, I focused on business, I focused on work, I focused on self-centered needs and wants kind of thing. And, I stopped going to Zoom meetings. We've got put on a lockdown in Colombia. Couldn't go out. After a certain time at night, I worked all day long, and I said, you know, I'm not going to these Zoom meetings. And it was a gradual process. I always would hear these people talk about, like, before they went out. It wasn't always like someone's like, oh, I left the meeting after picking up my 10-year coin, and I was like, I can't wait to hit, I don't even know what the hell the bar is here anymore, McDuffins or some whatever, making up mixed things or whatever. And then they pick up. But mostly it's like, yeah, I stopped going to meetings, I stopped calling my sponsor, I started judging the room, and those are things that started happening for me. And that's the kind of stuff that I had to, you know, check myself. That's the kind of stuff I have to talk about, right? It's really easy to sit up here and talk about a bunch of good stuff and look at me kind of crap. It's a lot harder for me to be like, hey, this is what happened and why I kind of left Tampa. Hey, this is what happened to my sobriety when I was living in another country. Man, that was rough. That was rough. I actually started going through the steps again with a man. And I kept my sponsor here, and they're just two separate people, and they're just two people I'm so grateful for. And so I started going through the steps with this man, and this guy knows so much about me already. I started making amends again, just different amends I had to go back through my life. I felt like a newcomer again. I'm like, I was sitting in this room right before I came up here, and I was like, you're sober 13 years, right? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't drank. And I'm like, shit, I haven't been in this room in so long. It's like you start to question things, and I have not drank in 13 years, and I'm questioning because I haven't done AA in so long. And so it's really cool. You know, sometimes when I used to speak, I used to think it was all about me, but being here and speaking tonight, I feel like I need you guys more than you need me. Like, I really do. You know, I think this was meant to happen. You know, I didn't pick Marlon's brain about speaking here. I needed to do this. I had friends of mine I see that are far better members than me. Like I said, go back out and die, unfortunately. And I don't want to die. I have a good life. I have a family that loves me. And I've had some just incredible experiences. You know, something I started doing that really helped me out a lot, and I don't know why I'm sharing this. Like I said, I don't have any kind of planned thing. And I heard this from another friend of mine, especially because the winter time's coming up right now. A lot of times we see those people on the side of the road, and a lot of times it's easy just to look beyond them and, you know, say, all right, yeah, it's Florida, whatever. This guy's got a sign. And I don't share this at all really to brag about me. If anything, I share it to encourage you. And this person told me, you know, I always keep food and socks because I can pass those things out. And I started doing that stuff. And it almost became like a game. I gamify things. I gamify things almost like it's a competition in my mind. I'm like, how many people that are begging in front of the Wawa on the street can I give socks and food to today? And when I started doing it, it got me out of myself. And so I share that to anyone else, that if you're sitting in selfish thoughts, selfish behavior, because what I've discovered is no amount of sex, money, working out can get me out of that stuff. And what gets me out of it is working with others, finding a new person to help. And sometimes it doesn't look like it's always in AA. Sometimes it's out of the rooms. And I think about all of God's children, not just Alcoholics Anonymous' children kind of thing, like all of God's children. I've had some just really incredible experiences, and it's like I said, it's all God. When I first started doing this, the first guy I did it to didn't speak any English, and we spoke in Spanish because I do speak Spanish, and he was from Colombia, and I told him about the gift that he has about being here and how many people are starving in Colombia right now that wish they could be here. Guy just broke down in tears. It was one of those things you had to be there for. It was incredible. And now the guy, you know, he said that once he gets back on his feet, he wants to treat me to a cup of coffee, and he, you know, thanks me. And the guy don't speak any English at all. That's Alcoholics Anonymous right there. That's not me. I'm selfish. I'm really selfish. I've always said anything that's inconvenient for my sobriety is good. I love you all. This is super inconvenient being here tonight. I drove 2 hours to get here. That's inconvenient for me. Seriously, it's inconvenient for me. And that means I need to do it. It's so easy to just be like, someone else is going to do it. Because if you think about it, AA just seems to run. You know, there could be like a big event, a big conference, and it's like, oh shit, the whole chairperson and committee drank again. And it's still going to happen. It's like, what in the world's going on? It'd be like one person putting everything together, and you'll be like, how did this even get pulled off? And that's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like, it just happens. I know that this is kind of just a little bit unorganized kind of thing. Like I said, this is, I did not have anything planned, but when I got up here, I just got hit with a whirlwind of emotion of just this group. Now, there's a lot of men doing a lot of, you know, service work in this meeting that are still doing service work. Mark, you look the same, man. Look great, man. Still doing service work. And Terry's up there, you know, directing the show. He's like the Phantom of the Opera. I'm like, damn, it's like nothing changed. These guys are just doing the work. You know, and that's consistent. That was the word. I met with a mentor of mine. I see Ryan. I see David, the Ryans. I see the David back there, my buddy Chris, and my friend Rachel over there. It's a lot of cool-ass people here that helped me so much in my sobriety in their own unique way. And I just met with my sponsor. He was down in Estero, and we just met for dinner. You want to talk about a cool experience? He said, hey, man, let's go out tonight, my last night here in Estero, dinner on me kind of thing. I said, all right. So we went out to a nice little steakhouse. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, my dad was telling me that you messaged him and that you kind of see like me as a son. And he went in his phone and he found a message that my dad had sent him over a decade ago, a week to the date. So it wasn't an exact date, but it would have been 10 days later, almost 7 days later. And he said, wow, this is 10 years ago. Your dad sent this message about thanks for watching over my son in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this man's been consistently, pretty much steadily doing the same stuff in AA. He does not live a boring life at all. He travels way more than I travel, does probably way more for AA than I do. Those are the kind of people I need to be around, you know? Those are the movers and shakers, the people that are consistently showing up. They're not begging for accolades, you know, on social media or some bullshit. You know, they're doing the deal when no one's watching. And if you're new, those are the kind of people you want to get around. Those are the kind of people that are going to, you know, as they say, the lions that are moving, they don't let you out of the pack. You move with the lions, not out of the pack. Because there's a lot of things that can pull you away from sobriety and other cool things. There's a lot of things that look like it seems like it's more glamorous. And really, it's a deception. I found for myself that when I'm walking with God and when I'm helping other people, that I don't think about a drink. That's what I found. I found when I'm chasing things for selfish pleasure, when I'm chasing money, women, you name it, insert the thing, it doesn't matter. That's when I'm like, I'm left empty. And for the past 3 years, I've just been so closed-minded about the idea of being in a relationship ever again. You know, I was like thinking I could sleep my way out of not getting into a relationship ever again. And instead, I just felt empty. And I went to this event last week. This time last week, I was in Dallas and I went to this event. And it reminded me a lot of just AA brotherhood and sisterhood. And I saw a lot of guys. And I saw the way that they interacted with their wives, and it was cool. It was really cool. It was a lot of just, you know, strong, confident people that weren't afraid to talk about things, and it reminded me of AA, and it was really cool. And it's a group that I'm a part of, and it's irrelevant of the group is, but what it was it was the moment that it kind of opened my eyes, and at least gave me hope that I'm open to the idea again. Because for the past couple years, I was like, man, I'm not doing that, you know, and that's God speaking to me when I'm ready to listen. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're only ready when we're ready to listen. So if you're new and you're like, whatever this guy said, whatever, I can't wait to go hit the club, let's go to Ybor tonight. That's cool. I hope you come back next week as well, because eventually you're going to hear something, or the pain of, you know, living a certain way that you're like, oh, man, I don't want to keep on doing this, is going to catch up to you. My life's boring right now. I say it's boring, but some people think it's kind of exciting. I smoke cigars. I do a lot of cool stuff. We put on a freaking kids party in Colombia for over 100 kids, and I was just talking shit about all the stuff I was going to do. I was like, I'm not trying to say any people, but I was like, oh, we're going to do this, and it's going to be huge, and I'm talking all this stuff I'm going to do, and then someone was like, where are you going to find a mini horse? And I'm like, it's Colombia, we're going to find a mini horse. And that's not necessarily correct thinking, but we found a mini horse. And the day of the event comes, I have a pretty cool life down in Colombia. It's so funny. I have a driver who, I don't know what he's up to. He always has a different car. It's always funny. And he's like, Mr. James, this the problem with the horse. And I was like, well, what's up? And he said, it's smaller I said, even better. And they had this horse, some people that I showed it to, they call it Little Sebastian. And they had this horse that was super stubborn, and he was the size of some dogs. He was like this big. And these kids went crazy. It was a Halloween party we put on 2 years ago. And this is totally, like, not my doing. This is totally me being able to do stuff for other people. And, you know, I want to share this story. And it was something that was bigger than me. And it got my mind thinking about a bunch of stuff. And this is what I kind of, like, want to end on kind of thing. Like I said, I didn't have too much stuff planned. And I've done some cool stuff in AA. And I've helped a lot of people. But this is the stuff that really we're supposed to live our life outside of these rooms. We can't not always live our life inside this room. Some people have the gift and ability to, like, that work in the recovery field, and that is desperately needed. We need people that are going to dedicate their life to help people in the recovery field. But most of us, we have to live outside these rooms. All these little girls in Cinderella and Tinkerbell and Harley Quinn outfits are crying their eyes out riding this little horse. And I'm sitting there, and my company put this whole party on. And I'm like, holy crap, this is bigger than me. They bust the kids in from some of the other neighborhoods. We got around 150 kids there. I got candy for everyone. We had a Halloween party for everyone. If you want to see photos, I'll share them with you. It's freaking cool. And I had a lot of stuff planned for that area, and then the pandemic happened. But I was able to have that event. And that really opened my eyes, and it made me think about a lot of things of just what I want to do in my life that are bigger than me. The biggest thing being legacy. I think it's not talked about enough. There's a lot of stuff we can do in our lifetime. I see a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous live a great life, and that's it. They touch our life, and that's it. My friend, who I call a friend, I got to spend some of the last time, his last time on earth, his last meeting he ever spoke at Sandy Beach, and I know a couple other people got to spend time with him also. He left legacy, and I think there's so much stuff that each person can leave here, and that's where my mind is at now. What can I do? Who can I affect? Who can I help inside the room and outside the room? I think I made an impact. There was a little girl saying that they never got to ride a horse again. I think that's an impact. They never got to do that in their life just because of the income inequality down there, and they get to do that, and I'm like, that's bigger than me. Now I start to think about things like clean water. And I don't want to get too much on this kind of kick kind of thing, but I want everyone to just think bigger than where we're at now. There's always more stuff we can do that are bigger than where we're at. And that's where my mind is. And I always need to remember that it all started because of here. So I want to tie this in. If you're sitting here and you're like, hey, I don't, you know, I want an awesome life. I want a badass life. Oh, I want to do all this cool stuff. It takes time sometimes. It takes showing up. It takes consistency. There's a story, and this is the last thing I'm going to share because time-wise, I want to be respectful of the time. The Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree. This Chinese man, he's watering it. He's mixing the soil. The neighbors are like, what's he doing? And he's saying, I'm growing the Chinese bamboo tree. It takes 5 years before it starts growing roots. It starts shooting up and actually growing. It's planting its roots underneath of it. It's planting the roots to support the actual bamboo. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is we plant our roots. We grow in this program. We plant our roots. We spend time with people in here. We get to know people. And then we grow our life. I truly believe that we are meant to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then we're also meant to grow on the outside. There's a lot of people here. I've been in their weddings and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is cool. That's growing your life on the outside. And that's what I look forward to in myself. I don't think I have any more experience than anyone else. I always make the joke that I have two brain cells left and they're fighting each other. But you guys were here for me. Imagine if I came here tonight and no one was here. You know, I'm happy that this group has survived the pandemic. I really am. So I want to give a shout out to YPG. You guys are officially on Facebook too. Wow. That's huge. There's a Facebook group for YPG. That's a new thing. That's awesome. We have entered the digital era of YPG in a Facebook group. I remember when we had a website and it was like, who's the website person? It was just like a position no one wanted to do. And so it's like, we now have a Facebook group. That is awesome. You know why? Because we're going to be able to help other people. And that's bigger than us. That Facebook group is going to be there when a new guy is, I don't know, looking on the Facebook thing about meetings to go to, and he's going to find a place to go to. That's bigger than you and I, and that's Alcoholics Anonymous. So thanks again for this group, for letting me be here. Thanks, guys.